Thankful, Lord, for this opportunity to be gathered here tonight. We're looking forward, Lord, to hearing from you. Ask, Lord, for you to come with your great anointing, dear God, and just open the word to us in a real way that'll be a help to the believers, we pray. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read a very familiar passage of Scripture tonight. I want to read verses 1 through 3 for a text. But what I want to preach on is possessing the unknown. Possessing the unknown. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." You may be seated. It is not a strange thing that we see them, the 11th chapter starting off talking about faith, because it's getting ready to go in and talk about the heroes of faith. And so first, it talks about faith itself. But faith is something that it's real and you possess it. But faith, sometimes you walk, when you're walking in faith, you don't know exactly where you're going. You don't know where it's going to end up while you're following the Spirit of God. But there are times that we want to have it all figured out before we make a move. Brother Branham, in the message of Standing in the Gap, speaks about that the Lord came and spoke to him and asked him, "Why do you wait for me to make a move every time you move? Where is your reward?" And he said what he was doing was he wouldn't make a move until God had said something to him. And the Lord was telling him to go by faith. But Brother Branham then also was thinking like the Old Testament prophets. And the Lord told him, he said, "You're not one of the Old Testament prophets. You're not like them. You're different. You have more gifts than they had. You are in the apostolic ministry." And said, You're not going to be like them as far as being able to stomp off in the wilderness, came back and speak, and then go back off. But then he told him, he said, "But you have gotten like Moses. You're at the point where Moses forgot the feeling for his people." And he said, "You forgot the feeling for the people, for the sick." And said, Brother Branham said, he had let the sick lay and wanted the Lord to tell him whether to go or not to, and the Lord was telling him that was wrong. Isn't that strange? I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you prayed and asked the Lord for his will concerning a thing, whether to do it or not, and the Lord speak back and tell you, "Do whatever you will." I've been there. And it was a strange feeling at first. When the Lord just spoke to me and said he wanted me to make the decision. Do what you will. And so what it was, I had to make a decision by faith. B- But Brother Branham said here, and it's standing in the gap, he said, I built myself a complex because the people didn't hear my message. And he said he had, like Moses, he had long forgotten the suffering of the people. You know, you look at the different questions that are in the questions and answers series and those that are in the questions and answers on the seals. And one of the things you can pick up through the reading of these questions is that many of the people had not moved up into the revealed word. But something that you've got to realize is when God sends a message, it's actually not geared only for that moment. Well, when he sends a messenger, a prophet with the message, it's not always just geared just for that moment. But it's for all of those that will hear it in that age. So all those that will hear it, and in this age, the Spirit spoke to Brother Branham and told him to store it up, the food, for there was going to come a famine. And so that's why they recorded all these services. Well, Brother Branham called them the tape boys, followed them around, recording all the services. The reason they recorded them was because that the Holy Spirit had spoke to Brother Branham concerning this, and so there were people that were going to be in this age that needed to hear it. Think about this. Paul was not even alive during the Ephesian church age, and yet he was a messenger to it. Because it was his ministry that influenced that age. And they didn't have tapes of Paul preaching. What they had was the letters that Paul had wrote. And that's what influenced an entire church age, was letters that Paul had wrote. That's how it became part of the Holy Bible. God never sends a message what it won't accomplish its purpose. It will always accomplish its purpose. Going back to standing in the gap, Brother Branham said that, he said, Billy, something's happening. At one time, I know where I've done wrong. I know that I have failed God. I'm returning to the field. Old or young, live or die, I'll obey God until death sets me free. I've failed the Lord, but not willingly. Let me insert this. I have wanted to see Jesus Christ manifested without one flaw. And let the brethren who hear this tape in the church remember from this day the reason you have had no flaws, the reason that all these years you can't say one thing ever said or done, but what had happened. I challenge anyone to bring any of the thousands of things on the platform, discernment, prediction of what would happen. It's happened exactly to the letter. Now, the church believes that, say amen. There's not a person in the world can show me, but let it be known to the church here in the church hereafter. Before I go on, let me say this. Brother Branham said the reason he kept waiting and not moving out by faith was because he wanted to make sure that this ministry of Jesus Christ went forth without any flaws. And that was a good thought. It's a good thing that he had it in his heart that it not have any flaws to it, that it not have any place where one finger could be pointed against it. But the thing is, God didn't need Brother Branham's help to do that. God started making this without any flaws when Brother Branham was yet a child. When he spoke to him, when in the whirlwind in that tree, when he was just a boy, and told him, don't never drink nor smoke or defile your body in any way. See, that was God looking out after that ministry when Brother Branham was yet a little boy. So he didn't need Brother Branham's help to make sure there was no flaws. There are no flaws in God. Now, if you could, we could raise up some of those that were with Jesus Christ before John chapter 6, and we would ask them after John chapter 6 if there was any flaws in the ministry, they'd tell you, yeah, there was a flaw. Because Jesus said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So they would have found, that would have been something. In other words, what I'm saying is this, God at times allows things to be a certain way just so it will stumble those that are not chosen to believe. So it'll stumble those that are not the elect. He goes on here, he says, if God pushes a man through a pipe and he don't move at all until God tells him, there is no faith connected with it. It's just God pushing you to something. He said, and it's because I must go out by faith. I must do it by faith. Whether I think it's right or wrong or what, I do the best of my choosing. And then go do it, because it hasn't been wrong. It's because I've waited till he told me to do it. I've waited for him, so it wasn't me, it was him. He said, now I must go out by faith. He says in a prison, the message, a prisoner. He said, remember, it was the Holy Spirit that spoke to me up there on the road and said, I'm sending you back amongst the sick and afflicted. It was obedience to the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit spoke to him. But what it was speaking to him was, go out by faith. Go forward. Go out by faith. What's going to happen? I don't know. But faith possesses what you don't know. Faith possesses the unknown. God calls us to walk in a life of faith. Faith is not something you see. Faith is something that's real. You can't explain it. You can't see it. But faith possesses what you don't know at that moment. It possesses the unknown. And by you walking by faith, you possess the unknown. You take possession of the unknown. I pray this will become more clear in a moment. Faith is not a guess or an assumption. It's real. Doesn't mean you know everything. Faith doesn't mean you know everything, because faith doesn't concern itself with the details. It just follows the Spirit. Let's go back to Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. Now here in this chapter of Hebrews 11, it's talking about these great heroes of faith. And at this point, and here at the beginning, it begins to talk about Abraham, who many claim say, well, he's the father of the faith. He's the father of faith. And he begins to talk about Abraham walking by faith. And he said, he knew not whether he goes. He didn't know where he was going. He was just walking. He was searching for a land that God had promised to him. And you would think, well, if God promised it to him, why didn't God tell him where it was? If God told you everything, you wouldn't be walking by faith. And Abraham had to take this move by faith. Remember, Abraham started dragging his whole family along with him. God had to take the life of his father just to get him to separate from him. And then they had to bring it down to a place to where Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen just couldn't live with one another anymore. To where they finally said, we're going to have to take separate ways. And that was God trying to separate Abraham then. Many times God, you know what? There were things that Jesus revealed to the 11 after Judas had left the table that he couldn't say why Judas was there. There are times that God will clear it out to where he gets down to the elect and let them hear it. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was looking for a city. Did he ever find it? No. We're still waiting on that city. Abraham didn't find it until he resurrected. But he walked by faith, not knowing whether he went. I'll tell you this, friends. When I came down here, I had to take a step of faith to do it. Because people can be fickle. And I didn't know you people. Y'all could love me one minute and hate me the next minute. I didn't know. I didn't know your character. So I wasn't basing it on you whether I came or not. So I'm not going to base it on you whether I stay or not. God, I was basing it on what God moved with faith on me to step out by faith and go. And I came here not even having a place to live. Stayed with Brother Phil for about 30 days at least. How many of you would do that? Say, well, God didn't call me for that. Can't you breathe the sigh of relief? Would you go move and go get a job somewhere else and not knowing whether you were going to have that job from one day to the next? Look, I'd been around people. I grew up in a pastor's home. And I knew how that human beings can be. So I had to depend on, it was God that sent me. And there's been some around here that loved me when I came and can't stand me now. But I'm thankful we got a core here that's still okay with it. Now, the message of perfect faith, Brother Bam says, perfect faith is a master of all circumstances. Perfect faith masters all circumstances. No matter what it is, it masters it. Now just watch. When you believe anything and do anything, you got faith in what you're doing. No matter what the circumstance is, they don't have one thing to do with it. See, it masters that circumstance. If it's in a room of sickness, the Lord's revealed that certain thing's going to happen. You just speak it and go on. Just don't ask any questions. It's already over. Just keep going. See, it masters all circumstances. Well, if you do this and so-and-so is going to do that, you see, it's already got it mastered. See, faith believes that God will work it out. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he'll do it anyhow. It masters all circumstances. You know, anybody can claim to have faith when they're up on the mountain. But you got to have faith down in the valley. That's really where faith begins to work. That's really where, like the song says, your faith's really put to the test. A believer will have faith whether he's on the mountain or in the valley. It's easy to shout up on the mountaintop. Because you've already come through it. But God gets glory when you shout in the valley. Why? Because it's faith believing that God is going to conquer that circumstance, whatever it is that you're going through, whatever that valley is, that God's going to bring you through it. It's faith that tells you God's going to bring you through it. So if you can shout in the valley, then God really gets the glory. What glory is it to praise him after he brings you out of something? Anybody can praise him once it's been brought out. But when you're in the midst of it, and you can't figure out how it's going to work out, how's it going to happen? And you're dealing with your human fears. And the devil comes and he'll try to present the circumstance to you as looking impossible to overcome. But that's where faith has to anchor and say, all them that belong to God, God takes care of them. The Bible says if he can take care of the birds of the air, how much more he can take care of his children. What about when Abraham was told of God to go and sacrifice his son? Abraham went. Of course, the scripture tells us that he was, and I'll just quote it here for you, he was counting that God would be able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he had received him in a figure. That's what it says in Hebrews 11. But the thing is this. God was moving to play something out here. And he didn't tell Abraham, now Abraham, what you're going to be doing is going to be playing out what I'm going to do with my son. He didn't tell him it was a prefigure of Calvary. But it was. Did Abraham ever know that? Not in this life, you didn't. Will you always know what it is, why that you had to go through something? Nope. Perhaps not in this time. Not in this life. It's like the song says, we'll understand it better by and by. There's going to be things that we won't have the answer to in this life. That we won't know why God brought us through it. Of course, we can say that God takes us through things to increase our faith, test our faith, which when your faith is tested, your faith grows. If you'll just hold on. I'll show you where Brother Branham says that here in a little bit. Turn with me to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 and 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, see, why did you read this when you're talking about faith? Because faith is not linked to understanding. Faith is not linked to human understanding. It doesn't depend on your knowledge. And you'll never be able to figure God out. You're not going to be able to figure out what he says. I like something here Brother Branham says in the message of preparation. He says, if you could figure it out, or I could figure it out, or other preacher could figure it out, we would be equal with God. Now that phrase sounds familiar. You would be equal with God. Why, surely God knows if you'll eat of this fruit, then you'll know all things and be equal with him. Watch what Brother Branham says here. Some of God's preparations has been so ridiculous to the people who depend on the tree of knowledge. So when we're depending on whether we can figure it out or not, we're depending on what we think we know, then what we're looking to is the tree of knowledge. That's what Satan's trying to feed you when he brings it around that way. He's trying to feed you from the tree of knowledge. But I'm going to tell you this, no one's ever going to be equal with God. That was a lie that the devil came up with. Because, and you know why he came up with it? Because the devil believes he could be equal with God. God's preparations has been absolutely ridiculous to the natural mind. Because the natural mind cannot conceive things that are of God. Because they're foolish to him and he just thinks it's a horrible thing. He just thinks it's horrible to think. Well, I don't understand it. That's just terrible. Lean not to your own understanding, Brother Branham says. If I could tell you how it was done, then it wouldn't be no more faith. I don't know how it's done. I don't know, but I believe it. I don't know how God saves a sinner, but he does. I don't know how God does any of these things, but I accept it. He does it, and that's the way, because I can't explain it. Never will be explained. No one can, because if you do, then it's no more faith. Mr. Forgotten Beatitude, he talks about how that John the Baptist, when he was in prison, had got to a place where he began to doubt, was Jesus really that one or not? Began to question it. And it was because that John was expecting him to come in a way of wrath and bring down judgment. And here, instead, he was meek and lowly. And Brother Branham said, because of that, John couldn't make the ends meet with it. He said, but you're not supposed to make the ends meet. You're not supposed to be able to make the ends meet. Say, we can look now because it's after the fact. And looking back, we can see why he had to come meek and lowly. We could see that it wasn't the time for him to come in judgment yet. Because the scriptures have been open to us. It wasn't all completely open to John. Only so much of it was open to John. See why? John's ministry was for one thing. And it lasted 6 months. And it was for one thing and one thing only. And that was to introduce Jesus Christ to the world. A lot of times it's on a need-to-know basis. That's what they used to tell us when I was in the Army. It's a need-to-know basis. Sometimes you don't need to know. Sometimes we don't need to know. And we never need to know to walk by faith. Listen to this. This is in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Pardon me. He said, don't doubt, believe it. Take all doubt away from me. Don't wonder. What if Abraham tried to wonder? What if Jonah in the belly of the whale tried to wonder? What if all the other heroes of faith wondered, how's it going to be? As long as you can figure it out, it's not faith anymore. It's got to be something you can't figure out. What about that statement? Not that usually it'll be something you can't figure out, or not even most of the time it'll be something you can't figure out. He says it's got to be something that you can't figure out for it to be faith. If I had $100,000 in my pocket, it wouldn't take no faith to go out and buy a car. It wouldn't take no, I could go get anything just about I wanted with $100,000. Besides a house. They cost more. But let's just say this. Let's say I had $1 million. What would there be that I would need faith for to go and get? Would I need faith to believe God was going to provide me with a house? No, I'd just go out and buy one. Because I already know I can do it. You understand what I'm saying? Then it wouldn't be by faith. If I already knew I could do something, then doing it wouldn't be by faith. Now, faith is so simple. The scripture says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is not a myth. Is something you actually possess. Just like this. If I was starving, you'd say, what would save your life? And I'd say, a loaf of bread. And you go in your pocket and you'd bring out 25 cents. Well, today you'd still be starving. But you'd bring out 25 cents and hand it to me and say, here you are, Mr. Branham. You don't have to starve. Well, I haven't got the bread yet, but I've got the purchase power of the bread. Now I might be a mile from the bread, but I can be just as happy with that quarter in my hand as I could be if I got bread in my hand, because I've got the purchase power of the bread. And when faith is anchored, it's finished. You're just as happy as if you already were jumping and shouting, because it's all over. You have it. It's something you know you've got. Nothing can move it. You never watch for any evidences or anything else. You just know you have it. How many of us have looked for an evidence when we're supposed to be walking by faith? How many of us has looked for an evidence? Every one of us. But he says, never watch for any evidences. How many's laid a fleece out before? Yeah. Well, I tell you, that's a sermon all in itself. You think one time Gideon laying that fleece out, one time God doing what he said would be enough. But he had to try him. He had to keep trying him. Well, let all the ground be wet and the fleece be dry. Well, let the fleece be wet and all the ground dry. And the key to the door, he says, when you've got the key, you know the door is going to unlock. What is the key? Faith. And when you know you've got the key, when you walk up and turn that key in that lock, you know the door is just going to come open. But see, I can say this of myself because I've been through it. What I'd like is to turn the key in the lock and the door immediately open, Brother Todd. But last year, I turned the key in the lock and it didn't open for a whole year. That's God testing your faith. About drove me out of my mind. Now Joshua, in all his knowing that the command was great, but having the assurance he could be fearless. He could be what we'd call reckless as long as he was pointed in the right way. He might break up against a hill that would knock him backwards, but he was headed in the right way. So can the church of God be reckless and fearless if in faith, if we're pointed the right way. For he said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I'll not fail you nor forsake you. And I know you've heard this before, the full meaning of this statement. Moses showed his humanity constantly. There were times that Moses failed God, but God was still with him. And Joshua was there for those times. So the full meaning of what this means to Joshua was, it isn't, look, you're going to fail. You're going to make some mistakes, but I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you just like I was with Moses. And he says, he never forsaken Moses. He never failed Moses. He will not fail Joshua. He will not fail us. He'll be with us. This is a message of perseverance. He said, there's a lady sitting right back to my left right there here on the end of the road. She's suffering with trouble in her ears. You believe that God will heal you and make you well, lady? You that looking at me, you believe he'll heal your ears and make you well? You do? All right. Have you a prayer card? You don't have a prayer card. You don't need one. See, that's the unknown faith that you have. You didn't even expect it hardly, but faith is a hidden thing. Faith beyond our awareness can contact God. An unknown faith that you have. That inner man, faith coming from the soul. Bypassing all those gates of the spirit. Bypassing what you can see, taste, hear, feel, and smell. And going straight and believing and calling and contacting God. Faith is a hidden thing. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, I'll read it to you. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Is God going to take care of his children? Yes. I read a I heard a little something. I think it was, I was watching a YouTube video, I think, but and I was thinking it was a church. It was a message church, but I can't remember what country it was in. It was a church. They were all black people in the church, so I don't remember, though. I don't think it was Africa, though. Might have been one of the islands. I don't remember, but anyway, there was a man that was up testifying. He said, if I can remember this right, he said, "I'm too healed to be sick. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. To God be the glory." Looking to the unseen, he said, a woman wrote him a letter. She was healed by cancer, said she felt good until about the third day. And then she had a real awful upset, a real bad spell on the third day. And Brother Branham said, she said, "Have I lost my healings?" Well, she was writing him. And he said, "No, that's a sure sign you got your healing." Said, God could have by a miracle took the cancer where there wouldn't even have been a growth left. But because there was a growth there, he said, those cells had to die. And when they die, then it'll make you sick. The life's gone out of it. And that's why it's dying. Then after it's died, it'll fall off. But by the third day, those cells were dying. He says, it's a sure sign you are healed. But you know what a lot of us would like? The miracle. That's the truth. We would like the miracle rather than divine healing, because divine healing takes time. There's times divine healing moves along with the general course of the human body. Because this body was made in the beginning to regenerate its cells. And it does it up to a certain age and time. It keeps regenerating cells until you reach a certain age. Then that regeneration starts to slow down. That's why you start looking older. It's slowed down. It's not regenerating cells like it used to. You can use all the face cream you want. You ain't going to be able to defy death. A message of second miracle. He said, some people has great big faith like this. He must be illustrating something. He says, and anything can happen. The next has faith that deep and takes a little longer. And the next has faith that deep and takes quite a little while. Some has faith like a mustard seed. But if it's mustard seed faith, genuine faith, hold on to it. Just keep believing it. It'll become marble faith. Then it'll become grapefruit faith. Then it'll become mountain faith. See, I said, when God's testing your faith grows. When you newly came to Christ, God didn't give you a great big trial to go through. He gave you a little bitty trial. Because you had little bitty faith. You shouted like you had great faith. But you only had little bitty faith. And so you went through this little bitty trial and your faith grew. So the next trial was harder. And the next one was more difficult. And the next one lasted longer. And in all that, your faith continues to grow. Why is God growing our faith? Because we got to take a rapture by faith. Hallelujah. He says, it'll bring you right out if you'll just stay with it. Hold on to it. It'll bring you right straight to the light if you'll stay with it. Don't be discouraged and don't believe symptoms. Symptoms, that's the devil's lie. Want to remember that one. The symptoms is the devil's lie. Hallelujah. This is accepting God's provided way. He said, I want you to, he said, I believe the prayer of faith's been prayed. I want you to do something now right where you're at. Drive down a post in your mind. Right here, this seat, this night, when I stood and heard the word and saw God vindicate his word and prove that it's right, the prayer of faith's been prayed for me. If the devil will ever try to tell me again I'm sick or anything else, I'm going to bring him right back to this post. He said, drive a post down in your mind. This happened to me on certain night in certain place. And when the devil tries to bring doubt, bring him back to that and say, this happened to me. Right now, the prayer of faith has been prayed for me. I'm saved from my sickness. I'm saved from my sins. I'm a child of God. I'll not cater to the devil's lies anymore. What does that mean? I'll not cater to his lies. We sit there. The devil comes and tells us something. Then we want to sit there and fuss with him. We'll sit there and we'll begin to entertain the thoughts that he's brought. He said, I'll not cater to the devil's lies anymore. I'm God's free servant. Jonah says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto dry land. What was a lying vanity? That Jonah was lost. He was going to die. That was a lying vanity. Because God had called him and sent him was sending him with a purpose. God wasn't finished with him yet. So the whale couldn't digest him. We call it a whale. The Bible calls it a great fish. I heard one time a man say, well, that a it was impossible for a whale to swallow a man because of the throat or whatever. But this was a great fish that God had created. Paul says in Acts 20 and 22, now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He didn't know what was going to happen. But Paul accepted that it was God taking him through these things. By faith, whatever the outcome was going to be, it was going to be God. Not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Brother Bram says, what if Abraham had been asked, how are you and your wife going to be able to have a baby when you're past the age of bearing? How's it going to happen? He said, what if Abraham said, well, we're going to drink a certain thing, and then some chemical reaction is going to happen within our bodies, and then it's going. He said, no. He said, Abraham would have said something like this, I don't know. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he told me he was going to do it, and I believe him. That's the way we've got to be. when it goes against all circumstances. He told me, so all I've got to do is just believe it. I like this next quote that I've got down here. It's in Contending for the Faith. He said, God is to be received by faith, not by knowledge. You might read the word through and know every word of it and still be lost. Read the Bible through and every word of it. Be able to quote, Brother Bram said this, Brother Bram said that, and Brother Bram said this, and Brother Bram said that, and still be lost. Because you don't know God by knowledge. You ever get around somebody in the message that wants to show you just how much they know? All the time it's about how much they know. That ain't the way it is. That's not the way God's known, by knowledge. It's by faith. There's some of you here that do not understand. Frankly, friends, there's much of it I do not understand. I just accept it. Don't never try to figure God out. You can't do it. God is not understood by knowledge. God is understood by faith. Is that right? What if Peter would have tried to figure out how deep the water was and how impossible it was for him to walk on the water? He would have never walked. But he just took Christ at his word and walked on. And you just take him at his word tonight. And if you may be a sinner and don't understand how to take God at his word, then God sent me here. I want you to take my word for it and see if it doesn't come to pass that God will bless you. Take my word for it. He said, you don't maybe know how to take God's word, but God sent me here, so take my word for it. It'll not rain till I call for it, Elijah said. Brother Bram tells a little story here, and thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemy about, he says, the old color man down south carrying a Bible said, they said, what are you carrying that Bible for, Mose? You can't read. He said, I believe it. Said, what if he tell you to jump through that wall, that stone wall? How are you going to get through there? He said, if he tell me to jump, I'd jump. He'd make the hole when I got there. So that's the thing you have to do, is take God and believe it and jump anyhow. If you know you could explain it, understand it, then it wouldn't be faith no more. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's just the opposite of the way that the human mind likes to work. The human mind likes to work that the things seen are the evidence. But it's things seen is the evidence of faith, but it's the other way around. Faith is evidence of things not seen. You don't see it. You can't figure it out. There's no way to figure out God. You just believe him and keep walking on. He said so. That's how I stand in the pulpit for the visions. He tells me to do certain things that seems humanly impossible. And you all know that. It's humanly impossible. But he said, do it. Just go on. He's the one to take care of it. He'll do it. He tells a story here in the Angel of the Covenant about a man whose son was dying in the hospital. And they had took a echocardiogram and said his heart was failing. And the doctor explained this to the father, but the father's emotions was acting just the opposite of the news the doctor had given him. Instead, he was happy, seeming happy, and unmoved by what the doctor had said. And then the nurse told him, said, "Sir, I'm afraid you didn't understand what the doctor said." And she said that the cardiogram, when it goes down, it never has been known in the world of history to ever come back up again. And he said to her, "Well, there's the thing," he said. "You're looking at the echocardiogram, and I'm looking at God's word. I'm looking at God's promise." He said, "And my son's going to live." And he did. In Standing in the Gap, which is a message that I was referring to quite often here tonight, at the end of that message, Brother Branham is going to start praying. He says, let's pray now. And then a sister screams out. Brother Way had dropped over in the floor dead. And Brother Branham goes down and begins to pray for him. And asking God to be merciful to him. And Brother Way had died of a heart attack. His heart completely stopped. While Brother Branham was praying for him, Brother Branham says to the congregation, says, his heart started back up. And Brother Branham said, the heart started back up and it beat about 5 or 6 times. Irregularly, until it really got to going. And said, Brother Way tried to speak then and he couldn't. Brother Bram says, because when the heart stops, blood flow stops. He said, so it took a little bit for the heart to get to pumping and moving the blood again. But he said that it's a good thing that happened while we were here. That's what Brother Bram said. He said, that was the grace of God that it happened while we were here. Now, he didn't look at the circumstance. And you know, I've never prayed for the dead, myself personally, and them come back to life. Not of a human, but I have of an animal before. And it ain't the same as a human, I don't guess, but it's still life. And while I was praying, there was something that came to me and began to talk to me and saying, you're just going to make a fool of yourself. And it said, you prayed for your dog and God didn't raise your dog back up. This animal I was praying for didn't even belong to me. It belonged to my son. And it was saying, you're just going to make a fool of yourself. And then a thought from somewhere else came. It said, well, what would the prophet of God do in this instance? And I just took, set the cat back down, and it came back to life. Faith doesn't look at what happened or didn't happen. It's looking at the current circumstance and faith masters it. Faith possesses the unknown. An overcomer. We're overcomers by faith, not by what we can see, taste, hear, smell, or feel. Not by what our emotions can tell us. Not by our imagination, not by our reasoning. But we're an overcomer by faith. You know, when you're faced with something that you know you need to overcome, and know this, the devil knows your weaknesses. Brother Branham says that, so he studies you out and he knows your weaknesses, and that's where he'll attack you at. And you're standing there looking at something you've got to overcome, and then sure enough, the devil's going to tell you how many times before you stood there and faced it and failed. But faith says you're going to overcome it. No matter what, no matter how many times you're going to have to face it, you will eventually overcome it. Don't look at how many times you failed, how many times that you were faced with it and you messed up. Don't look at that. Know this, he said, that he was going to grant for the overcomer to sit with him in his throne. And that promise is to his bride. And his bride will overcome. You will overcome. When God gives you a test, you're going to pass that test. I don't care how many times you fail it. Sooner or later, you will pass it. Because he's going to keep giving it to you until you do. Sometimes he gives us pop quizzes. Just something real quick, you know. It seems like it's there and gone real quick. It's just a pop quiz. Amen. Brother Nate, if you come. Love the Lord tonight. Amen. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thankful, Lord, for you bringing us here tonight and how you spoke to us, Lord. We ask, dear God, that you, Lord Jesus, will, as you have with this word, that you've touched each and every life here. I pray, Lord, may we take this with us, Lord. May, Lord, we put it in our little script bag, Lord, as David did, and have it there ready, Lord, for when we face one of those giants. Lord, I ask God that your blessings on the people, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Sing, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good.
God.